All right. Welcome, everybody, to another Tuesday weekly team huddle call for REI Vault. Today is Tuesday, June 2nd, 2015. Welcome to the call. Excited to have you all. This is going to be a shorter call. Chris and I are going to have to drop off in about 30 minutes, so it'll be a little shorter today. Purpose of the call for those that are new is really informal, open Q&A. Ask whatever you'd like. It could be related to deals. It could be related to Podio, your market, technical in nature, whatever works for you. Just press *5 on your phone. We do keep everyone muted. Just press *5, and we'll see that you put up your hand to ask a question, and then we'll bring you into the call. And during the week, if you do have any questions, any help, specifically technical in nature, or related to marketing, or anything, systematic leads, et cetera, send an email to support@salesteamalive.com. Anything related to a deal that you need help from Chris or myself or somebody else in the group, email dealhelp@reivault.com. With that, Chris, any brief updates that you want to share?
No updates other than, you know, we do get, we encourage everybody that if they have a question or they have any sort of help, they need any sort of help, to contact us via dealhelp@reivault.com. And many times on the most recent number of tickets, it was both Gary and I that responded to those tickets. So you get the opportunity to hear from both of us. Each of us may have a different take on the situation. And then many times I also will reply to those with a audio. And so they're insightful to us because they allow us to give us an idea of perhaps, you know, if we see any patterns that we might need to address with the members as a whole. But generally, it helps us to know your progress, et cetera. So don't be bashful about sending in questions that you may have or any help that you might need outside of the calls that we have here on a weekly basis. That was really the main thing I wanted to make a mention of, Gary.
Excellent, Chris. Well, thank you. If you have a question, go ahead and press *5. And the way this works is if there's no more questions, then we will simply end the call. So if you have a question that you'd like to raise, go ahead and press *5, and we'll bring you onto the call. And, again, this will probably be a little shorter today than normal. All right, here's a question, Chris. I'll bring looks like it's Graham from Florida. Graham, you're on.
Hey, guys. Graham? Can you hear me? Yes.
Yes, I can. How are you?
Good, good. How are you guys doing?
Terrific.
Okay, my question is, and I've been talking to a lot of other REI Vault guys, is other avenues of marketing, like what you guys recommend. I'm hearing a lot of SEO stuff, kind of pay-per-click, and then obviously other lists such as probate. And if we do other lists, do you recommend us doing that through the Sales Team Live Mailhouse or a separate mailhouse? Just kind of, I guess, different avenues besides Third Notice to, I guess, Free and Clear or Unoccupied.
Yeah, Chico, let me address the latter question, Graham. So if you have a mailing list of your own and you want to have that mailed, do you want to put it through kind of REI Vault / Sales Team Live, or do you want to do it on your own? It's your choice. I would recommend just having Sales Team Live do it. There's no extra cost other than the cost of the marketing. If you have a probate list, as an example, we have a whole bunch of people in the REI Vault group that are mailing probate, code violations, tax liens. Some people are mailing to judgment, divorce, where they are finding a local list on their own. And we can definitely mail that for you. What you'd end up doing is sending an email to support@salesteamlive.com, attach the list that you have, and let us know and be as clear as you can of what type of list. And the team will put together a campaign plan and a recommendation of what we feel that would work best for you, whether it would be postcards or handwritten letters. If you had a custom mail piece that you wanted to use, they can do that for you as well, and they'll give you a quote. And since you're providing the list, the cost is much lower. It just comes down to because sending out postcards can be as little as 41 cents. And then if we're, depending upon what else we're doing, it can be, you know, 49 cents, it can be 52 cents. So just provide the list. Probate, what we're recommending on probate right now is typically yellow letters. There's sending out 8 yellow letters to the probate list. If you don't know where to go, Graham, I would recommend going to, there's a guy, his name is Mark Van Dyke, and he's at probate-goldmine.com. And you can mention Chris or myself. Mark's probably going to be joining REI Vault. I've been working with Mark for years. He's a wholesaler, and he's probably got the best list. It's about $2 a name, but the list is good. We've got probably, 30 or 40 people in the REI Vault group that have been mailing that probate list. Does that make sense? So you just send over the list to us, send it to support.salesteamlive.com, and then the team will make a recommendation, and it would be set up. They would drive the leads into Podio, kind of similar to the way that we do it, and you can even have those transcribed by the and managed by the VAs. And other than the cost of the mailing, we're not charging any extra, not like some separate fee to do that, at least right now. And they'll clean up the data for you, too. There's a process for the team knows how to look at the marketing list, and they clean it up. They get rid of corporations and LLCs. There's a whole process on how to kind of scrub the list that you may not even think about. And the team does that just normally, and they'll provide it back to you. They'll come back with a campaign plan. They'll say, this is exactly what we recommend to mail. This is the frequency. You know, is it 5 pieces or 8 pieces, et cetera.
Perfect. How do you guys feel about, like, pay-per-click stuff? Or I know you do a lot of it with your company.
Yeah.
Well, you want me to answer that? We're testing right now some PPC. It's not in-house. We're actually doing it with a vendor. And I would say the results have been a little bit lackluster. I'll leave it at that.
They suck.
Yeah. Well, I didn't want to use such strong words, Gary. But they haven't been lackluster. So here's a couple things. I'm going to answer a couple questions. So in terms of PPC or SEO, one of the things that I find that I think, you know, a lot of people optimize for SEO. And however, though, you could go out and optimize for SEO, and you could optimize for 20, 30 keywords, but you really need to understand what are the keywords that convert. You know, what are the keywords that really bring the seller? So you could, you know, optimize for 20 keywords, but only out of that 20, there's really only 2 or 3 that really are the ones that are going to bring you sellers. And the way you optimize that is first by doing PPC, because then with PPC, you track, you figure out which ones are giving you the conversions, and then you take those keywords, and then now you SEO those keywords. Now, in terms of PPC, however, you have 2 avenues to go. Either A, you can do it in-house and try to learn that and try to figure that out, or you can go with an outsourced service, which is what we've done with the vendor. And, you know, with a vendor, you do the best you can, and we try to do the best we can with regards to sorting and figuring out, you know, our best avenue. And, you know, sometimes it's just a roll of the dice, because you don't really know until they get started and how that process works. The people that we know that are doing it really well are, I think, the people that are doing it, you know, there's a combination of they start off in-house and then they bring it in to someone else, but they kind of start that in-house because now they have better control, they can attack it, they could be more aggressive in terms of managing that campaign, whereas if you are going with a vendor and they have, you know, 100-plus accounts, you know, there's only a certain amount of work that they're going to do in your accounts. So, you know, for us, one of the challenges that we've had has been in, you know, and it's really figuring out kind of where our competency is. In other words, we can go out and try to learn and master PPC, but our competency is direct mail. And so then we have the argument in our heads as far as, hey, how do we optimize what we're doing? How do we maybe tweak the marketing? How do we go out and get new lists and try to figure out how do we can continue to make that channel work? Versus going to a completely new channel that we really have to start from scratch to learn the ins and outs of the platform and optimize and get potentially to a point where it becomes profitable, but it's a long road. So it's kind of the decision point, I think, has to be, you know, what do you do first, PPC or SEO? I think you have to do PPC first to get the converting keywords. And then with regards to PPC, determining is, you know, what are your options? Are you going to do it yourself? Are you going to get a vendor? And, you know, so that, I don't know if that helps you in any way or that answers the question or maybe gives you more questions than answers.
It helps, I guess, just the word I want to put out there is if anyone's got a good outsourced, you know, PPC company that they can recommend us, let us know. You know, I know I'm interested and I think there's some other people too. But, yeah, you're right. The SEO stuff that I noticed people are having success, they're all doing it in-house, kind of, you know, spend a ton of money and a ton of time learning how to do it and are, you know, very specific to their company and are killing it. But, yeah, finding a good outsource company for that is difficult.
Yeah.
If anybody's on this call live right now and you've got a good proven source you've been working with, I'd love to you can press *5. We'll bring you into the call. Or you, if you're listening to this replay, it'd be great if you could email suggestionbox@reivault.com with the recommendation. Chris, Graham, Chris and I are testing this right now in South Florida for pay-per-click. We do have a vendor. We have been spending money. We just haven't gotten the results that we want to share with anybody yet. I will tell you one other thing, Graham, that might be interesting. We have a few people that are doing they're doing post-it notes where they're dropping literally using a service to go door-to-door with a post-it note that gets stuck to the door, so blanketing an entire neighborhood. And
right.
We probably have, I don't know, a half a dozen people in the REI Vault group that are doing that right now. We drop ship. We can actually drop ship. I think it's 20 or 25,000 post-it notes. They're pre-printed. You can order them directly from, you can just email support@salesteamlive.com. We already have them. We've had them for years. They come in pads. They say notice on the top. It looks like it was, you know, it looks like it was hand signed. And they look, it's a 4x6 size of a postcard. You're typically, they're about $1,000 for, I think, 20 or 25,000 of them. And there's also a service in South Florida that we know of. They can deliver those for you. I think they're like 10 or 12 cents a piece or something like that. Probably what I've seen is on post-it notes, you don't get a real high volume of calls, but usually the calls that you get, there's angry calls and then, you know, one out, like for every $1,000 to $1,500, I've been hearing that typically it's a deal.
Yeah, I like that.
That's about the average. That's about the average metric. You could try that. You can order them from us, and you can also find out the delivery service or use the Boy Scouts or somebody. That's another option.
Okay. I like it. Yeah, that's a good idea. All right, thank you, guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, the comment I would say about the post-it notes, you know, post-it notes to a certain extent are still almost in kind of the same, I look at them as the same category as direct mail, right? Because you're targeting a geographic area, some of the same principles apply, et cetera. And I always think about the fact that whenever looking at any new strategy, is thinking about asking myself the question is if I'm fully putting forth the best amount of, the most effort and or have fully optimized my efforts in whatever I'm currently doing. And, you know, with direct mail, there's always different things you can tweak. What it could be your sales process. It could be your intake. It could be, you know, the list we send out. There's a variety of different factors. And I just find that sometimes it's easier to work on that and get results versus going in a completely different new direction that you have to learn from scratch. So that's my
guess. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true. However, if you had a delivery service and you knew that, you know, it would, you could get 20,000 out. Well, it does come down to the cost per deal, right?
Yeah.
So it all goes back to what is the cost per deal and the number of leads that I have to pick through in order to get the deal. So if you're in like South Florida or in Florida like Graham is, if Graham's able to do a deal for every 2,000 to 2,400 bucks worth of marketing, probably makes sense, right? But anyway. We'll keep you posted, Graham, on our results with pay-per-click. We're definitely working it. We've got a third party that's been working with us and just perfecting it. It might also be the South Florida market because it's pretty competitive. All right, if you have a question, you can press *5. *5. All right, Art. Art, you are live. Art?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Hey. Okay, there you go. What's happening?
You know, a lot of good things. While you're still talking about the PPC, I'm certified by Google. I do PPC for some of my marketing clients. And if you guys get to a point where you want a second pair of eyes on your campaign, I'd be more than happy to offer my services free of charge to, you know, just peruse it, take a look at it, see what they're doing, see what if there's ways that it can be improved, since I understand what you're doing.
Okay. Thank you.
Just wanted to kind of throw that out to you. Also, I took your advice, been making offers, got about, by the end of the week, I should have close to 35 properties under contract. And my question is, I've been trying to get a list of buyers to mail to, and the list that they came up with, came back to me with, was about 160 total to mail to. So I guess my question is that worth? Is it worth to mail to that small of a number?
Well, when you say 160, did you give them a particular property address, or did you give them just the county in total?
I gave them specific zip codes for the properties that I had under contract. So, I don't know, maybe I should have just given them for I'm working Allegheny County, so I'm
well,
sure
you,
that
you could do. You could do one of two things. You could either do the same county, or you could do or you could expand, you know, but typically we go out for about four, I think it's 4 or 5 months, so we can extend the time that it goes out. So in other words, instead of just getting some people that may have bought in the last 4 or 5 months, it could be a little bit further out, maybe 6 to 8 months.
I actually told them to go out 12 months.
12 months, okay. So
yeah.
The county makes a difference, and every county is different, but it just depends on the geography. And so, like, for example, Dade County, in my example down here, really is almost three different areas altogether. We got the north side, we got central, and then we got all the way down south Miami and Homestead. And so in my example, it wouldn't be good for me to say nail the whole county because the list would be so huge, and many of the buyers in the south end of the market are not going to buy anything in the north end. So for me, the county wouldn't be feasible. So that answer would really depend on if you have that situation going on in your county, or if your county is the way the county is. And most of the time it ends up being whether or not if it's everything is centrally located and people can get pretty, if the investors are okay with buying from one end to the other, then at that point then it becomes more viable to send out the entire county.
Yeah, and it's kind of a mixed bag. I mean, Pittsburgh is definitely segmented north, south, east, and west. Okay,
mm-hmm.
And of course, you know, you've got the bridges and the tunnels, and you know, it is a deterrent, you know, to go from North Hills to South Hills because of the distance, number one, and you know, I guess the reason why I picked specific zip codes was because I knew a lot of these investors they like to stay in specific areas.
Okay.
Now, there are a few, you know, that will go anywhere, you know, and that's because they got property managers and management companies taking care of their property, so they don't really care because they're not dealing with the headaches.
So in that case, then I would agree with the smaller zips in terms of your initial question whether or not it'd be worth it to send to 160. I mean, I've done mailings as small as under 100, you know, pieces for buyers because it's, you know, I've got properties in particular areas and I knew that, you know, the zip code that I wanted to stay in and under. And so it would make sense for me to go out and mail everybody when I'm looking for a very specific type of buyer who wants a specific area. So in terms of the 160, it's not either good or bad. It's as long as it's you know, it's the right buyer. So in other words, if the list was 1,500, that would make the list better if that list, you know, if that list was investors that would never even consider, you know, those zip codes.
Right.
So I don't, I think I would look at the number not as an absolute yes, good or bad, but rather, I mean, based on what you're telling me, I think it's the right number based on your selection process, or at least from what you're telling me over the phone.
Okay.
I would agree with it. It's not quantity. The other thing you could do is you could have, I think it's Daria, but you could have a VA do a little bit more research on those names and maybe pare it down to 30 or 40 and actually call them and put, you know, call directly to the buyers. The direct mail you're going to get, you're probably going to get a 15 or 20% response rate. So if you get 140 buyers, you're going to have 25 of them. You may get one or two good buyers off of the direct mail doing it that way. But I'd call them. I'd have somebody, you know, reach out and actually call the buyers, especially the ones if they're buying multiple properties and you see they're buying for cash, anything like kind. You know, look at
yeah, the way to do that is if you're calling, if you have a property that's, you know, if you have a company that's ABC 123 Properties, you know, look that up on Google. And many times their LinkedIn profile or the corporation profile shows up, and there's usually a phone number associated with it. And or you can also look, which we do in our state, sunbiz.org is the state corporation place. And so we look up the company there and try to figure out, you know, especially if you got somebody, out of those people, there's maybe a handful of them that have bought multiple deals. And so reaching out and trying to get them on the phone, it definitely would be worth it.
Okay. So would I just request the list from support and they would send it to me, or how would that work?
Yeah, you can do the, you drop the mail and you can just ask them if they can get you a copy of the list. And either Chris or I will get an email for approval. But we'll do that so that you can get that. And you can take it, you know, look up the property address, and I'd call them.
I have no problem picking up the phone and calling and having Daria do it too. I mean, that's you know, second nature
to
me.
Drop the list and then just ask if you can get a copy of it. Some of them may even have phone numbers on them already. So I'll give the team a heads up. I'm looking at the ticket that you sent in as well, and I just asked the team if they have one more look at the list to see if they can figure out a way to get a higher count.
Okay, good.
I'll give them some instruction. Cool. Anything else, Art?
Keep it posted. Art, send us, keep it posted. Let me see the calls at Deal Help and let me know how it's going and what help we can provide in order to give you the best results from what you're doing right now.
Yeah, no, I'm really excited. You know, I got a lot going, and it's getting better month by month. You know, I hit a wall last month, didn't get anything done, but you know, that was partly my fault because I had a lot going on the month before, and I kind of rested on my laurels a little bit.
Right.
So, lesson learned there, but you know, I think I got three or four sold already this month, so that'll be good. And then you know, again, I'm looking, and I'm making inroads with. I went to
that's
a couple
good.
Of
lost
these.
Me.
Hello.
I think we lost you there for a second, Art. Keep going.
Oh
no, he's good.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
you made inroads with what?
I went to these RIA meetings and ACRE meetings, met some people there. And then today, actually, I met up with one of my investors, turned me over to his property manager to go see a duplex on Thursday. And we just got talking. I looked at his website and here, you know, he buys properties and for, you know, the people he manages properties for. So we're going to sit down and on Thursday and kind of go over some specifics on what he's looking for. the type of properties, that type of thing, which is, you know, he's all over Pittsburgh, so, which is great for me because my properties are all over the place. So it's just a good lead, and I've actually met him before when we were looking at another property, I think January, February, something like that. But yeah, it's coming, you know, it's just a matter of keep putting one foot in front of the other and just keep moving forward, you know, and it'll break wide open.
Yeah, it sounds like it's definitely picking up steam, so just keep us posted. Anything we could do to help, you know?
Yeah, I will.
Along the way, so please.
Yeah, and I'm serious. I mean, if you want me to look at your PPC or any of these guys, you know, that, you know, need a second pair of eyes or want to get ideas or stuff like that, I mean, I work wholesaling all day and go home at night and do PPC.
Okay. All right. So, Tucker, I appreciate that. And so we may call upon you on that.
Yeah. Art, do you do any pay-per-click for sellers?
I do not. I haven't, simply because I just I like the direct mail. I like the responses that I'm getting from direct mail. I have more than enough on my plate right now. It's not that I haven't considered. Well, I don't have the landing page and the funnel behind it in place in order to do that properly. So it has crossed my mind, but I'm getting the results with the direct mail at this point in time.
Awesome. All right, Art. Well, I know Chris and I will reach out to you personally because we're testing it right now, and the goal is to get it working in South Florida and then start rolling it out as an alternative or a secondary approach for marketing. And we just haven't seen the results yet. So I'd love to get your feedback on it.
Yeah, I don't know how long you've been doing it, but it's definitely a building process, and depending – A lot of being successful doing PPC is you can drive all the traffic in the world to a landing page, you know, with maybe some type of offer to get them to opt into the funnel. But really, it's that back end that should be doing the heavy lifting. And I know you guys use Infusionsoft. I don't know if you have campaigns built out in Infusionsoft to do that. I'm assuming that you would, or you know, another autoresponder. But you know, getting the traffic is not the problem. It's just getting them to respond with some type of offer on the back end, getting them to raise their hand. So I'm sure
our cost per viable lead is terrible. So far, and it's primarily because the leads that we're getting, even off of the search words, the leads that we've been getting so far have been all over leveraged property. We're not interested in doing any short sales. So that's
right.
And that was the same issue that I ran into years ago when we were going down this path. I've never actually been able to get the seller marketing via Google to actually produce any good results for the cost. So, but anyway, well, we'll reach out to you direct. Bart.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
Awesome. Hey, I know, Chris, we have to jump here. I'm gonna bring one more. We have one more, which is Sean in Texas. Sean, I'm going to bring you on here, and this will be the last caller. Sean, you're live.
All right. Hi, Chris. Hi, Gary. How are you all doing?
Hey, how are you?
Great to have you.
All right. Fantastic. Thanks for that. I just have a question about how you would suggest handling a deal that looks like it's getting ready to fall apart because the investor that I assigned it to, he has spread itself thin on properties, and now we've been trying to get the closing pushed back, but the buyer sellers are at a point where they're just, you know, either ready to get, you know, either more earnest deposit down in order to kind of keep them happy because we're extending the closing, or they're looking at either, you know, just canceling out the contract. So just wanted to see if I can get you guys' suggestion on how you might handle those types of situations.
Chris?
The guy that you want, the guy that's supposed to close, he's overextended, and then now he's not able to close. He wants more time, but I assume that him wanting more time is no guarantee that he may come back to you and say, oh, I'm still not ready, right? So you may get more time, but in the end, he still may not have his stuff together in order to close. Is that accurate?
Well, I think with, 30 days out, which the sellers have agreed to, it's just his funds are so spread thin that the extra earnest deposit that they're asking for, he is not able to, I guess, put that deposit up because of other closings that he has, earnest deposits that he has to put up for as well. So he's kind of spread
himself. How much time do you have left before the, where are you at with the closing? In other words, when is it supposed to close?
I was supposed to close at the end of this last month. Actually, it was supposed to close on the 22nd of last month, May. So they gave us some time, but they were like, okay, go ahead and wire the extra earnest money deposit, which was agreed upon, but because his funds have been spread thin and other closings have been getting pushed back on him on properties that he had money in that people were supposed to buy from him, his funds got tied up because all of his closings have gotten pushed back.
And was this a property that you had a lot of interest, or is it something where it took you a while to get it sold?
Well, I think I had it as soon as I had it under contract. He was interested, another gentleman was interested in it also, which I'm already talking with him about it. But the original.
The only thing in that scenario, the only thing you could do is try to stall. Find, is there a way that you can stall the seller in order for you to be able to get that additional, to get somebody else in there? Because even if you found somebody, to be off the top of my head would be that I would have to tell the seller, look, it looks like I can go ahead and get the additional escrow approved. However, in order to do that, I need to go ahead and I need to do like a funding inspection just to make sure that we're okay with it, that nothing has changed in the property since the time we saw it. And then we can go ahead and try to get this thing done. And then what you do is then you get your next buyer in there. You make sure the buyer understands that, hey, this is what we need in escrow. And it has to close in a week. And then try to get the buyer in there, try to get him to the deposit. And then at that point then, if you have the title work ready, then you can put yourself in a position where you can close on the deal. But
Sean,
that's off the top of my head kind of what I'm thinking.
Sean, have you worked with this buyer before?
Yes, I have.
And he's closed with you multiple times?
Yes, he doesn't have a problem closing. He just spread himself really thin, and he had some other closings that
what's your profit in this deal? How much are you prepared, or how much are you estimated to make?
Well, I got paid my time in up front on this one, so it was $6,500.
Oh, you got paid already?
Yes.
I think you're going to need to pass this over to the buyer, because it sounds like the buyer may lose it. So you've already made your money.
Correct.
But now, is the buyer looking to get his money back from you? Because that's an interesting scenario.
Well, it seems like the assignment, assigns over all rights, to that buyer of the original contract with the seller. So that is the thing that I was saying, if he's unable to, how does that work? If he's unable to meet, those requirements, that's not really the seller backing out. It's just that, how does that work? It just seems like he's not able to come up and meet, the closing expectation, the date.
Yeah. This is a buyer issue. How much more earnest money are the sellers looking for? Another $1,000, $5,000? What's the amount?
Well, we all got on the phone. He said he would give them another $5,000 and another $1,600 just to, keep them happy, which was the rent for the month. And so they agreed to that, but he just hasn't been able to put those funds in the escrow because of he spread so thin. So we've been pushing them off or pushing this off for about almost, a full week now, and they're to the point where they're like, is he going to wire this today, or, we're looking at either backing out of that contract or canceling that contract. But he's tired of it all, you know, tactics that he knows to do.
Sean, how far from Arlington is this?
Flower Mound, that's, you know, probably just north of DFW Airport, so 30 minutes, I would say, at the most.
I may have somebody, because you might, you want to send the details, I may have somebody that might be interested in this property. Maybe another little higher price to get the deal across the goal line. So if your buyer can't do it, maybe there's an opportunity to still deliver for the seller. The worst is when, you know, the seller's committed and they're expecting to close, right? So you kind of, you might actually even make a little bit more money. If you could actually find another buyer, even make another $1,000 and get the buyer out of this deal as well, right? It sounds like the buyer's going to lose their $6,500 that they've already paid you. So if you want, email, just say per Gary, email a link to the Podio lead that you have here, and send it to dealhelp@reivault.com, and ask, just say this is per Gary from the call today, and let me, because I've got somebody else in the Arlington area that may have some interest in the property. Is it a rehab potential?
Well, it's currently leased out, has a tenant in it paying $1,600 a month. Since Flower Mound, which is a nice area, it's just that the foundation is a little, you know, just a little, the left half of the property, you can tell there's some, you know, some leveling issues.
Send the link, Sean, and give us the details, and I'll connect you. I'll connect and just see if there's an opportunity here. I mean, maybe it's an opportunity to find a new buyer that can come in right away. You know, exit out your old buyer, and maybe you can make an extra $1,000 doing the deal, you know?
Okay.
So
yeah,
not sure if that would come together, but it might be worth a try.
Yeah, sure. This was one actually I had done outside of REI Vault. So I don't have any, you know, link to that property within Folio.
Okay. All right. Give me whatever details you have. Just email dealhelp@reivault.com and any
okay.
details, and I can just make the introduction to a buddy of mine in Arlington that may have some
okay.
interest.
Okay.
So
okay.
just see if we
yeah,
can
I
help out on that.
I'll do that, and I also have my next-door neighbor. He was interested. He was the other buyer, and so I'm trying to get him in there also to look at it. So I can
yeah.
send that over.
I like the fact that you got prepaid. Chris, you like that?
I do like that, actually. A bit of information that was handy to come in, but I definitely, in this scenario, that works out perfectly. So, yes.
You know, I'd like to see everybody close and be happy on it, but that's kind of the situation that we're at, you know, presently.
Yeah.
Well, you've done everything on your side correctly, so everything is on them, not on you.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
All right.
Yeah, welcome, Sean. All right, Chico, I know that you and I have to jet
yeah.
for an appointment here. Great. Well, any final closing remarks, Chris?
No, just if anybody needs anything, just always email us, dealhelp@reivault.com, and we'll get you, we'll answer questions or any help you need in order to help you with whatever you're doing, deals, et cetera. So let us know.
Excellent. All right, everybody. Have a great week.
Thanks, guys.